Welcome to the Disaster Recovery Podcast. I'm Mark Holdred from the ILTA Professional Services Steering Committee. With me today is TJ, who's been the coordinating ILTA's annual conference for the last 7 years as program manager of conferences. Today we'll be discussing disaster recovery and reviewing the events of last year's conference. Specifically, we'll see what it took to make a change in venue 3 months out from the 2010 conference and what you can learn from that. TJ, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Mark. I'm delighted to be here and to share the ILTA conference story with our members.
Great. Can you briefly tell me about the annual ILTA conference, what it is and what its mission is?
Sure. As a peer networking organization for legal technology professionals, ILTA is all about education and networking opportunities for its members. For the last 30 years, we've held an annual educational conference, which is considered our premier event each year. Over 1,000 of ILTA's CIOs, directors, and managers get together in person to learn from each other and to share their experiences. It's 4.5 days jam-packed with educational sessions that are developed by ILTA members. That's the real key to the success of it, focusing specifically on the issues facing our members every day. And there are networking opportunities with ILTA members and vendors throughout the week. Our attendees tell us that they gain great value for their firms and for themselves personally, which they are able to leverage when they return to their firms after the conference.
Well, let's talk specifically about last year's conference. When did you begin planning for it?
We start very early on. We have to select a site for the conference and sign a contract for meeting space and guest rooms. We do that usually 3 to 5 years out from a particular conference. Then about 18 months out, we have a high-level visit to meet with various departments at the venue to start building relationships with their staff and to understand the way they work. Then about 11 months out from the conference, we go through a project plan with the resort staff and really get into the nuts and bolts of what we need to do. At the same time, we meet with our ILTA volunteer conference co-chairs and the ILTA board liaison to set up the structure for the conference and the theme and the goals for that particular conference. And we do a budget for it. The educational program for the conference is planned by ILTA members, so the co-chairs pick a conference committee and start brainstorming about topics. And then 8 months out from the conference date, we meet with the conference committee to select the topics. And we meet with the resort staff to do the space planning and the catering and all of the rooming requirements. We just had this exact same meeting for the ILTA 2011 conference in Nashville 2 weeks ago. 35 ILTA members met, and they narrowed down the over 600 proposed conference topics to nearly 200 sessions that will be presented at the conference in August. From now through July, the conference committee will be selecting speakers and developing session content, while the ILTA staff will be working on the logistics. In mid-July, we meet at the resort for a virtual conference where we run through everything and try to work out all the kinks before we actually go live in August.
Could you take us through the events that led to the change of venue last year?
Okay. We were more than a year into the planning for the August 2010 conference, with no expectation that there would be a problem with Nashville being a venue. It's not known for hurricanes like Florida is. Then on May the 4th, Nashville received an unprecedented rainfall, and it covered the whole entire area, and the bank of their river that is within less than half a mile from the resort was breached. The Gaylord Opryland property was completely flooded. What's unique about that property is that it's a hotel and a conference center entirely under glass. There's 50 acres under glass. So it filled up with 10 feet of water.
Wow. How bad was the damage?
Well, initially, it didn't look like it was very bad. From the outside, the pictures looked as if there was just a couple of inches of water. But the main infrastructure of the hotel and the conference center is all below grade. And all of their offices were at ground level, along with all of their technology and the exhibit hall. Some of the meeting rooms were on the ground level, and the restaurants, and about 100 of the guest rooms. So all of those got 10 feet of water in them. within a week, it was clear that they wouldn't even know how long it would take until they could reopen. And the initial estimate for repairs was approximately $150 million.
Wow. What did you do?
Well, we talked to the Gaylord people, and they released us from the contract that we had with them so that we could look for an alternate venue.
Well, it's nice that you got out of the contract, but what were you thinking?
Well, I have to say it started with disbelief, and then it turned into a little bit of OMG. And then we took a deep breath and moved on to recognizing that our members needed us to get this done. So what would we have to do to give them a conference? We went back to our checklists, and we started highlighting the things that would have to change, which was basically everything related to the venue, plus some third-party supplier stuff had to change, and there were some speakers who were impacted. We talked to our insurer and opened a file in the event that we lost money on the conference and had to file a claim. And then we created a condensed project plan that was based on our original long-term plan.
Well, the first thing, I assume you had to find somewhere else to go. Where'd you start looking?
Well, we looked at other Gaylord properties first. The number one priority for us was to keep the same dates as we had planned. And unfortunately, none of the Gaylord hotels were available on those dates. So we very quickly drafted a small RFP. We usually do our own RFPs because of how specialized our conference needs are. Our ILTA attendees prefer to have a hotel attached to a conference center so we can all be together for the week. And we're very limited because of the amount of sessions that we have, and that means large meeting space requirements, and our dates are set, and we have large guest room requirements. So we sent the RFPs out to a few possible locations in Orlando and Las Vegas.
What kind of response did you get to your RFPs?
The responses were good, except that most of them, the dates didn't work. In the end, there were only three venues that had our dates and the right amount of space that we needed. So we evaluated those three and went out to Las Vegas to view two of them right away. Within a week from that time, we had a contract in place and sent out a press release to let our ILTA members know that the conference was moving. So that was, in the end, a total of 2 weeks from the day of the flood until we advised the membership of the new location.
Well, that's quick. Where did you see the most impact on the conference in your plan?
Well, the impact on the conference itself was actually minimal. Reaction to the location change by our members and our vendors was mostly positive. We did lose a few local Tennessee attendees, but many from the West Coast were able to attend who would not otherwise have been able to. Now, as far as the plan is concerned, I know you all deal with projects that have a deadline much shorter than what you'd like and have impossible demands placed on you. So what we were faced with may seem just like day-to-day stuff for you. Certainly, we drew on all our backgrounds from law firms that do or die that did help us dealing with this particular disaster recovery problem. We just buckled down and did the very best we could. We do have a lot of redundancy and over-planning in our standard conference project plan, which allows us to be ready to handle unexpected things once we get on property. In this instance, we lost that luxury. The risk of failure became much higher on many levels because we were unable to test lots of things that we usually test. Does that sound at all familiar? Our virtual conference ended up being much less than a month after our very first planning visit to the venue, so we had many more kinks than usual to unkink. And my mantra is always to have everything that should be done before we get there on property, so we don't actually create anything once we get there. That way, we're totally ready for the technology breakdowns and the catering snafus and the rooming confusions and the speakers who get lost. Again, we lost that luxury with this change. The impact mainly was that we were still only finalizing everything in the days just before the conference began, and we were still reviewing and making changes once we were on site. It made it a much bigger challenge and kind of took some of the fun out of it.
Well, was it a successful recovery from the disaster?
Oh, yes, definitely. Despite the fears and the pressure, we had great attendance. The educational program was excellent. It had been impacted very little from the venue change, except for energy spent by our member volunteers on worrying rather than on developing session content. And the evaluations that we got from our member attendees and from our vendors was the best ever.
What lessons did you learn from your experience?
Well, we learned that we have to be ready for anything, and it's best to be nimble and flexible. And it's really good if you have a glimmer of an idea of what you will need to do if something totally huge jumps out at you out of the blue. We learned that insurance is great, and being ready for the most likely disasters is also great, but that's not enough. We learned that it's tough to change your key resource midstream. And we learned that it's really important to plan as much as you can up front so that you can change channels quickly. We definitely need to have more plans in place in the event of something like this happening at a future venue. If it had happened within only a few weeks of our conference, the outcome would probably not have been as pretty.
That's a lot of lessons learned. I certainly found a few that would be useful for me, and I'm sure there are members out there also will. It's good that you're able to take some time to document on what you learned, and we don't always take that time, and it's a real opportunity that's often missed. So often people don't take advantage of reviewing projects unless there was a problem, and even when they do, they often focus on the negative aspects of the project only. It's important for people to reflect back on the successes as well as the failures, so great work can be emulated in the future. Project reflection can also help people realize that just because something did not work the first time, it does not mean the original idea was still not worth pursuing. This year's conference attendees will have a chance to witness that firsthand as we gather in Nashville, weather permitting. Can you tell us a little bit about what we have in store for this year's conference?
Yes. The theme for ILTA 2011 is Rev Elation. It's a made-up word that comes from the energy that we saw being created at last year's conference, and we're seeing the same thing in law firms this year. There's kind of a momentum moving everyone forward into a time of renewed vigor and creativity, and we're definitely looking ahead with newfound knowledge and developing new strategies for success. The ILTA 2011 educational sessions will center around that theme of revelation. There will be 192 sessions across our 12 peer groups and 100 areas of focus. We will have Ask the Expert sessions. We will have interactive sessions and hands-on sessions. And we'll have some that might even come under the heading of crowdsourcing, as well as some of the beloved member case studies. The registration fee is $1,025 for the full 4.5 days, and the location is the newly renovated Gaylord Opryland Resort in Nashville. We did just visit there, and it is looking great. We expect similar attendance to 2010, in 2010, around 1,100 member attendees, and registration is going to open March 1st. The full program will be published by the end of May, and it's just going to be absolutely great as always, no matter what venue it's in.
Well, we're really looking forward to that. Thanks, TJ. Thanks for your time. That concludes our Disaster Recovery podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing about last year's conference and how a strong disaster recovery plan can help save the event. Incorporating a disaster recovery plan in your project may help save it as well. If you like this podcast, I would invite you to check out our other educational content being provided to you by the Professional Services Steering Committee. Every month we'll be holding an interactive webinar. February's webinar will be on SAP in the legal industry. I'd also like to invite you to check out our multiple e-groups, including the newly formed Professional Services e-group. And as always, we'll be conducting several sessions at conference this year. We hope to see you there. Goodbye, and thank you, everybody.